Hey, it's time for Standing Room Only here on the one and only killradio.org. We're here in the studio with the Sharpies.
Woo!
Woo!
How's it going?
Ow! And we're going to be playing some of their tunes right after we play some more of their tunes. So listen up. Hey, you're listening to Standing Room Only on killradio.org.
Hi,
we're here
this
with
is Larry King. You're listening to Standing Room Only on Kill Radio.
That's a phone caller we have on the phone. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'd like to say that I'd like to ask everybody to light a candle tonight for all our troops out on the battlefield, and I'd like to remind you that George Bush is a holy man. And
what?
Get together now.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, dude, George Bush sucks.
That's all I have to say. Baba Booey.
George Bush sucks eggs.
No, not holy, more like evil.
Yeah. I mean, he's really, you know, he's really good at worshiping his God, which is money and oil, so.
Yeah.
I guess he's got that going for him. Yeah, well, hey, thanks for calling in. You're right along the right lines with this station, so.
That's perfect for us.
We're glad you called in to talk to the Sharpies.
Yeah.
Call in.
Here on Kill Radio. if you're not a George Bush fan and you'd like to call in, the number here is 213-252-0998. Sharpies in the studio tonight.
What up?
How you doing?
Yo.
This is such a crazy night. We're gonna spin some music. We're going to listen to some of your music. We're going to learn all your deepest secrets. It's going to be great. I'm not sure those microphones are turned on.
We hope so.
Yeah. They are not?
Okay. Yours is, Paloma. Okay.
Hello? Yeah, yeah, they're turned on.
Yeah, they're on.
I see the lights. The lights are flashing.
The lights are going on? Good.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the monitors that need to go up.
Wow.
Welcome to the magic of Kill Radio. Oh, I feel so much better hearing my own voice. Yeah. I don't know. It's very soothing.
Is it comforting?
It's very comforting.
It's the Daily Show.
That's right.
Standing Room Only.
Where have you guys been playing lately?
In Sherman Oaks and Dana's recreation room.
Awesome.
Otherwise,
I heard Sherman Oaks is like a really good venue. So
it's amazing to play in Sherman Oaks. We play there like Thursdays and Sundays.
Yeah.
You guys should come out to Leghorn Avenue.
Yeah, Leghorn.
They're all going to come
off
out
of
now.
Chandler.
Yeah.
They're going to be marching up and down.
Yeah.
We played residency at the Echo.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
So that kind of, like, because that was constant and we were playing a lot of shows before that and a little after that, we kind of took a little break, you know, so that we could get ready to record, travel a little.
Yeah.
And, and our guitar player was in
Germany
for a month, so, you know.
So.
What?
Holidays, you know.
Yeah. Oh, holidays?
Yeah.
Days. D-A-Z-E.
I mean, really, it's hard to play shows during that time. They're pretty underattended unless you're really big. And, you know, it's just kind of like hard to do stuff during that time.
That's a special microphone you have over there.
Oh, okay.
It's the one that kind of just like gave up life.
That's cool.
It just kind of hangs there. You can try to adjust it.
I'm hanging with the mic.
You're hanging with the mic? Okay. Cool. And you have some shows coming up, right?
We do.
We're going to be plugging these all hours long, but why don't you go ahead and give them to us? You're playing UCLA, and it's going to be exciting because it's a, is it Outfest?
It's called Queer Quarter Kickoff.
Oh, okay.
And it's sponsored.
Kickball Kickoff.
It's sponsored by the Queer Advocacy Committee at UCLA. We're playing at noon. Yes, it's a fun day show. It's all ages. It's free. And it's like a, LGBT kind of day event. They're having like tabling. They're giving away condoms. And we're performing, so it's like this really fun thing, and it's just gonna be a happy gay time. Yeah,
sounds fantastic.
Yeah,
and then you're playing somewhere after that,
and then we're playing at the Viper Room.
I'm actually the one who set that up. You don't realize it, but it was all me behind the scenes setting up that whole Viper Room deal.
We love it.
I was like, listen, you know what, you guys owe the Sharpies. You know you've owed the Sharpies for years. You need to put them on.
That's
and they're
right.
like, you're right.
You know what? This guy's our new manager.
It was actually ML Viper, owner of the Viper Room, who I spoke to. And he was like, you know what? You're right. Like, I need to cash in on what I owe the Sharpies.
That
joke was done like 5 minutes ago. I don't know why it's still going. I'm sorry.
I think it's
great. Yeah.
You're like, yeah.
The Viper Room.
Yeah, let's move on.
Well, here's the thing. Funny. We played the Sunset Strip kind of recently, and it was really weird.
Tell them what show
weird
we played.
Weird with a double capital D.
Yeah, it was weird.
Duh.
Tell them why we played Paloma.
Because I don't want to. It's too...
Tell them.
Okay, I'm shy. Because we got these guitars for free. And
why did we get the guitars for free?
Because Christine was at Guitar Center picking up some new heads, and she was like, this is how Christine is. There's a little contest. Maybe I'll enter it.
Nice.
And so, out of like, literally probably thousands, we won the thing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of amazing. So then I got free car. We all got a free guitar because we all play guitar on one song. And it was like, I only play guitar on one song, still got a guitar.
She got a rad
kinda
guitar
cool.
too. Butterfly shaped.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's the kind of guitar Daisy rocks that Shona Knife uses.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
very
so,
cool.
Yeah, they're really amazing. And I was talking to this girl from Portland that does the girl camps, you know, like rock girl camps.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, the little girls, they love those guitars. And she thinks it's really funny because they don't actually sound as good as a lot of the guitars they get donated. I mean, they get like really crazy expensive guitars, you know, donated. But they love these guitars. And I just think that's so cool that, you know, even though it's really a gender issue at times, it's very interesting that at least it promotes something positive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of like what we signed on. So we played the show for the Daisy Rocks people, who are all really sweet and amazing women.
Yeah,
and
really
we did got some free mascara and lipstick and stuff.
Yeah.
We got our makeup done, and then we had to take it off because it was really scary.
Yeah, we went to the
hair and makeup room. And it was like the worst thing ever.
Me and Paloma ran down to the Rainbow Room's bathroom and literally like took everything off with like tissue, and then just like put our own eyeliner on. We're very happy. Anyhow, that's a long story about
casualties of free makeup.
Daisy Rock endorsement.
Yeah, and it was a crazy night. And I have to say that it was really kind of disturbing. And so us playing the Sunset Strip again, which I hadn't done in like maybe 15 years, probably you either, right?
I don't think I've ever played.
Yeah, she never did. And so where was the place called that we played with the big TV?
Oh, the Key Club.
The Key Club.
Oh, the Key Club, yeah.
With with the crazy booming sound.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the sound there is like for like a stadium. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And the club's not that big, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, it's kind of ridiculous.
I wanted to see, like, Nina Hagen's played there a few times, and I wanted to see that. But then I was like, I passed by there, and I was really creeped out because I went to a show at the Roxy for some reason, and I was like, oh, that place is weird. I don't think I'm going to go to that show. But anyways, that was on my birthday. I was supposed to go to that show. So it's really weird that we're playing the Viper Room because that's my birthday. And there's free vodka. So everyone should come
free
and
vodka.
Celebrate the fact that I'm rounded to 30 now.
And I heard they're giving away the free vodka only because it's your birthday. So that's really cool.
It's true.
They're celebrating
they love
that.
I know.
should we try to invoke some of the magic of Kill Radio here and play one of your songs?
Yes.
All right. Let's see what happens when
you're
I click this button.
Remain Instant off of our new album, or actually EP, Remain Instant.
Or with the Sharpies after this. With the Sharpies here on killradio.org, standing room only. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Ow.
Ow. What's the best place you've ever played? Then I'm going to ask you the reverse of that in like 2 minutes.
What is the best place we've ever played?
I like the loft that we played for Halloween still.
Was that downtown?
Yeah. God, you might have been there.
It probably was.
It was that loft. And
did we play with
Don
the Centimeters?
Bowles played, and the Centimeters
Oh, yeah,
played.
That was a great show.
Oh, I was there.
And Sarah was a sunflower.
You know what show I liked was that show at the garage we played for the gay boy night, remember?
Oh, yeah, that was pretty good.
I think I
fell asleep in that loft, and I woke up in, like, Pasadena or something. It was pretty cool.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's a good party. No,
yeah.
It was good.
No, it was amazing. That was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
And I was so angry before we went on, and I was like, man, if I could just be that angry, every show might be that good. But it's not true. If everyone was that drunk, every show would be that good.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what was good, too? Was
the band wasn't, but everyone else was.
Yeah.
That's how it should work.
Remember when we played in Arcata for the 2005 November tour with Cameron on bass?
No, I didn't like that show.
Really? I thought that was fun.
You didn't like that show?
When was it?
I don't like the hippies so much. I'm kind of a hippie, though.
Yeah.
I don't like myself that much.
Oh, come on.
You're a self-hating hippie.
Yes. No.
Anyways, I thought that show
was
fun.
That was a good show. That was pretty good.
I just thought the energy was cool. Like, people were just having a good time.
People are dancing.
Yeah, they were just like having fun and like enjoying the music. They weren't just like, oh, I need to look at my cool shoes I just bought.
Okay, here's the question everyone really wants to know.
Oh, the B-52 shows was awesome.
Oh, that was amazing.
That was amazing.
We played, we opened
like
for the B-52s.
That's pretty cool.
That was great.
I guess I prefer smaller shows, but that was a great big show.
How are they still?
They were awesome, but that was a few years ago.
Yeah, it was like 4 years.
But they're probably even better now.
Yeah, Fred's rad.
Yeah, they're just, they can do it.
And they have amazing hair.
They do have amazing hair.
Forever.
Okay, so what's the worst place you've ever played?
Oh, God. There's so many.
Yeah.
There's so many. It's like,
there's got to be the worst, though. I feel like that's something Dana would know.
Yeah, she's good at
that.
She's
more of a pessimist.
In L.A. or just?
Just anywhere. Anywhere on this earth or beyond.
Oh, that Orange County show was just... I mean, that was when I was like, I'm not playing music anymore.
Oh, the one in, we played in Upland.
Yeah, Upland. That was just horrible.
This crazy,
I have relatives in Upland.
Yeah, well, sorry for you.
Yeah, it's really nice to go for dinner, but.
Yeah, it was
I
like,
don't know about that.
I don't know the name of, it's like this art gallery, like, slash all ages venue. I can't think of the name right now, but it's in Upland. It's like the only one, so you know who you are. And basically, they kind of like, you know, dragged us out there to play, and we thought it was going to be a really good show. We were playing with this band that our bass player loves called Your Mother's Lover, who are nice kids. And, you know, we got there, we set up. It was super swanky looking, like, gallery style, you know. So it's like, obviously, you have a little dough in, you know, invested.
Uh-huh.
We played, a couple bands played after us, nice little crowd, nothing crazy, you know, but just some kids. We were getting ready to go, and I go up to the booker guy, and I'm like, hey, you know, we're leaving, kind of like being polite, like, hey, so what's going on here with the door? And he says, oh, well, it was great having you. Have a nice ride home. I was like, okay, well, you know, how do you do the door? Do you give, like, percentage to the bands? Or? And he's like, oh, no, we don't pay. We have to play because
surprise.
He said we can't afford to pay the bands right now because we're just putting the money back into the venue.
Uh-huh.
And bands should understand that.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, we drove from L.A. Like, you're
yeah,
out of your mind.
At least give us, like, gas money.
Yeah,
asshole.
like 30 bucks. Oh, and, like, thing is, they were charging $8 at the door. There was at least, like, 50 people in there, you know, throughout the night. And it's like, what are you doing with that money, you know? So anyhow, that guy sucked. Big eggs.
Well, we're going to send the Kill Radio Mafioso after him.
Yay!
So that'll all be taken care of by next week. When was this? How long ago was that?
This was, like, last summer, basically.
Yeah, we can still track him down.
Okay,
it's no
cool.
problem.
Dude, we got Daily on our side. We're stoked.
Do you want to set up another song? Or can you set up another
sure,
song?
Sure, not a problem. I'll set it up.
Okay, great. And let's see. While you're doing that, why don't you tell us what some of your favorite music is? Like what influenced you or what's
that's what's saying.
That's a little preview of what we're about to hear in a few minutes.
And isn't it
so
good?
Yeah, no, let's listen to that, because that's kind of like a hard question, you know?
Okay. It is a hard question. It's a very open-ended question.
And I don't like giving the same answer ever.
Okay. Well, that's fair. Well, let's hear some more music from the Sharpies, and we'll be back with the hard questions after this on Standing Room Only, killradio.org. that's what I've been doing. What have you been doing? So we're back with Standing Room Only here on killradio.org with the Sharpies. This is only the second episode of the new Standing Room Only. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
We love it.
Wow, it's the second. So you've been telling me that you've been in Venice hiding.
Yeah. I have been hiding in Venice.
You talk to Jim Morrison in your dreams?
I did. And then there was this whole thing with like a court order and I could only be in certain areas of LA. It's very complicated. But so I was in Venice for like a year and a half.
And where were you going to school?
Uh-oh.
Here it comes.
Here comes the libel suit from my school. They don't want to be associated with my radio show at all.
Oh, okay.
No, it's fine. I'm actually getting a master's degree in clinical psychology.
Yo!
Can you believe that?
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
He's like, that's so great. Ladies, Paloma.
The sax player on the recording is really into psychology. That's why she's not in the band anymore.
Oh, really?
She was too heavy.
Yeah.
It was too heavy for her?
Yeah.
Your trip is too heavy, man.
She's like, yo, you guys are messing with my head.
I'm going to be around crazy people in institutions. Totally, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, you know Anika. She was in Lily and the Ladies.
Oh, yeah.
So she played with us for like a good almost 2 years.
She's vowed to play for a little. When we have really big shows. Like, let's say, for example, we're at the Greek Theater.
Oh, I see. If the show's really big,
Anika will make her presence.
If you're like opening for the Dodgers game, then she'll show up.
Yeah, do like
Super
Bowl.
Oh my God, that would be amazing. That's my new dream.
Let's open for the Dodgers.
Oh.
All right, I'm going to set that up for you. No problem.
Okay. By the way, if Ruben Ortiz Torres is listening out in Radioland, you want to support us because we love your home team.
Okay? Is that one of the Dodgers? I know nothing about sports.
He's a friend.
But I look at the Dodger Stadium like.
Dodger
at
fan.
Least once a week because I do the hike, the Elysian Park hike.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I used to live right behind Elysian Park.
Too, thanks.
Looking real fit.
Lost a little weight, you know, fell in love.
Getting sexy.
Oh, there we go.
She's wearing like really cute black satin slacks tonight.
Yeah, I wish all of you could see that, but this is radio, so sorry. We're the only ones who get to see it.
I got him for Hanukkah.
Hanukkah slacks. That should be a title of one of your songs.
Yeah, Hanukkah slacks. That's so a good one.
Actually, that's Paloma's next side project.
Hanukkah slacks. Greg from Horses wants. He's like, can your new band be period pants?
Nice.
Yeah. Don't you think only a guy would think of that?
Yeah. It's like that. remember that label from like Ontario for a while called On the Rag Records? It's kind of like that.
Very nice. Yeah.
So as far as inspirations go, Christine used to wear this shirt where she filled her entire shirt. She wrote like, you know, one of the annoying things, maybe she can explain it better, about being a female drummer, especially in a place like Los Angeles that's so caught up in image.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe if you go to the Northwest, people aren't going to be like, oh, you're a girl that drums? Wow, you're really good for a girl, you know? So she wore this like amazing shirt that was just filled with like all the, you know, female drummers like ever since, you know, 50s, you know, or whatever, and like it was really incredible. So as far as like the previous question prior to the song, Los Angeles Miss that just played, that you heard off our new EP,
which is called
Remain Instant, which is a really amazing record,
we urge you to go and look it.
Yeah. Please buy it. You can buy it off the swell website. The smell website. You're an online, you're obviously kind of an online person if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
If you don't live in the area.
The smell is a great venue too, but you know what? It actually really does smell there. Have you noticed that? Yeah, it has quite an odor.
It has
I guess I'm used to it.
Yeah. it's a smell of art and rock.
Yes. Yeah. And urine, I think, also is a little bit there.
Yeah.
Out in front.
Piss and vinegar, that's what the old sailors say.
That's
especially,
right.
Especially on a, you know, if it hasn't rained in a while, which it doesn't seem to.
Nice warm summer night. You can get the real smell experience down there.
Exactly.
Which is good. I mean,
shout
it's all
out
part
to
of
Jim.
It, you know?
Yeah.
It's all part of the experience. It wouldn't be the smell if it didn't smell.
No. But thesmell.org, you can buy the record and other great records that he's been putting out lately.
Yeah, he's got a lot of great bands on his roster right now. In fact, the Old Factory label is on its way to just really doing a lot of exciting things.
Ruling,
I have to say.
Basically
ruling, like amazing stuff. Like dude. It's just called
rock stars, you know.
We're connected.
LA stars, dude.
We're connected to the smell. So if you go to the standing room only MySpace page, you can see all that smell stuff.
Oh wow!
Yeah, all the smell stuff.
And you can contact the Sharpies there too.
Yeah, contact the Sharpies.
Uh huh. They may not talk back to you though, because
we do take a while sometimes.
Why don't you guys call us right now? That would be very fun and exciting.
That would be fun and exciting. 213-252-0998 is the number to call. If you'd like to speak live to the Sharpies, maybe I can find another song out on here. Yeah. Maybe I can't.
No, right there. All there. Any one of those songs. So maybe you could play Going Green or any of those three.
Going Green sounds good.
So, yeah.
So it's going to start right now.
I'll pause it.
Okay.
Going Green, that's a good one.
Yeah, we like Going Green.
We don't play it as much anymore, though, Going Green.
Why is that?
Yeah, why is that, Paloma?
Yeah, why is that, Paloma?
I think it's weird without the saxophone. Like, yeah, for a while, we were playing it, and it worked really well with Sarah and Rod's guitar style. And then, like, Aaron kind of joined the band when Aniko was joining the band. So I think we got used to playing it with the sax, because the sax part in it, I think, is really, really, really nice and atmospheric or something like that.
When it's nice texture.
When did the Sharpies start? Because I remember seeing you guys like 3 or 4 years ago, right? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we really didn't get kicking till 2001, maybe. So, okay. And then.
No, I think it didn't get kicking until 2002, because you and Dana were like playing songs in her bedroom like in 2001, like March, April. You know.
Yeah, but you joined in 2001. I mean, once we played that Smell show with you, I thought that was a great show. Like, Tracy and the Plastics played.
That was for Halloween, played. Right?
Like, it wasn't Halloween.
It was like around September, like August. But it was like late summer. Like,
yeah.
Like a late summer, so I early guess, fall
yeah,
show.
Yeah, more 2002. But yeah, I mean, we've been around for a while, and me and Christine have been playing music for a long time. And
too long.
Yeah.
It's not too long. It can never be too long. No. You guys rock. Come
on. You know
what?
We'll stick with it. You know, just because you just said so.
Oh, thank you.
I guess I'll pursue it after all.
Yeah. No, totally.
Hey, you guys should form a band called the Sharpies. Maybe. And play music. And
actually, Paloma and I are going to start a band called the Sharp Heads.
Yes. Yeah. The spinoff of the Sharpies. You'll have like 3 of the 4 members and then some crazy neighbor guy. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Actually, we were thinking about asking you to play maracas.
I can do that. That'd be great. You know, I have a fake MySpace band. Banana Mustache. Yeah.
Nice.
That's my fake MySpace band.
He's good. People.
We have a guy who we're a fake band, but we're actually going to play around town, and we have a guy who plays the electric afro. It's like a theremin. That's wired around his head.
Oh,
it's going to be awesome.
This is classic business.
We also have a milk jug and chain. We're going to listen to Going Green from the Sharpies. Be back with more talk after this on Standing Room Only.
Churning black! Pro-primary, I'm not going back. Burma, I'm second to the top.
Just stupid.
listening to Standing Room Only on killradio.org. We're here with the Sharpies. How you doing?
Hi.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, I was just telling them that we totally... They were just saying that the studio looks clean, which I'm surprised because it's like a total dive place. Place.
It's like your most comfortable rehearsal space or like favorite dive bar.
Yeah. It's really nice. I like it. Yeah.
You like it?
It's great. Yeah. Well, last time I was in here, it was like really beat up.
It was like really nasty.
Yeah, way more. Like Janet come in here or something.
It looks fine to me.
Yeah, it looks totally good.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's like
everything's kind of like covered in beer from last week. But
who was here that covered it in beer?
If you like actually don't touch the equipment, it probably does seem really clean. The Randys were on last week. The Randys were here last week. They played live in the studio.
Were they Randy?
They were Randy, yeah. They were very Randy.
Oh.
Yeah. You should see the photos. We can't even put them up on the website.
Wow. They're so risque, right?
They're fine. Were there any particular questions you wanted me to ask you?
People never ask us, Bulma.
Yeah. What do people never ask you? You know what?
Don't ask us, I think, any religious questions or philosophical questions. Because, like, to be honest, like, being in a band is, like, a ritual. Like, it really is. Because, every once in a while you freak out and you're like, what am I doing? What am I doing? Like, why am I not a doctor or a psychologist or, you know, and then I look back on it and I think about it and I'm like, well, I decided to go back to music when I was taking an anthropology class, and I think about it and then I'm like, oh yeah, and that made sense because I realized how important ritual is and how rock and roll is so prevalent in American ritual and especially in American ritual because of its historic context and the way that the ideas of like anti-military and progressive thinking has evolved in maybe a more playful and fun manner. So not that I would...
And express definitely through music as well. I mean, it became the voice of all of those philosophies.
And art, and for us, I think feminism is a huge part of it.
Definitely.
Right on, sister.
Like, I was watching the Madonna special that she did at Staples Center with some people the other night, and it was totally weird, and, like, I don't know, I might have gone if there were, like, free tickets, but it was really exciting to watch it on cable or whatever. And
I would have been very excited to watch it on cable, actually.
Totally stoked. And so watching her, like, do this thing, it was, like, pretty amazing because she's like, you know, just like gone up and up and up. Like, she hasn't like just stayed the same, like, or gone down, you know. Like, I can think of like so many examples of
always
people
evolving
who, exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. And she had all these crazy like religious things and like crazy, you know, philosophical things, and the dancing was amazing. So I was just thinking about, like, obviously we're a band, we're a rock band, we're not like a solo artist who's like really egotistical or anything. Not that egotistical is bad, but, you know, that's just not who we are. But, like, I was thinking about how obvious it is with someone like Madonna, but how it's not obvious when you ask people like us, because we're kind of blue collar, you know. But you know, we don't have that prestige element or that almost saint-like figure as an idol to be asked those questions. But those are the questions that aren't asked to us, and I think there's a good reason why they're not asked to us. That's all.
Yeah. Well, I think also, like, a lot of probably, like, a lot of, you know, writers and journalists, they just maybe don't really associate that with rock and roll music, you know what I mean? Like, they just kind of think, like, well, you're doing this because you absolutely love it, you know, and why else would you be doing this?
Or, like, sex and drugs and...
Right, yeah. They want to sensationalize it and get that angle.
Well,
and,
either that
and
or they just,
like,
go for, like, the fantastical idea of, like, being in a band, you know. They love the fantasy of, like, what rock music represents and what being in a band represents, you know, and all the connotations,
the crazy lifestyle and stuff.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's so funny, too, because it's almost like, I don't know, how would I put this? You obviously have to be, like, really...
By the way, that noise, I call that noise space chickens. Because I'm not kidding you. Can I just really quickly interrupt? Uh-huh. Let me just divert the conversation for just a minute. every morning when my little clock radio was off.
Oh yeah, the clock radio does that.
Yeah, it does that, and then like it sounds like space chickens, like a little chicken's like, but he's like trying to tune in from space. So I always like turn to my boyfriend, and I'm all space chickens. Anyways, back to philosophy.
Back to philosophy. What was I going to say? Well, I mean, it's like kind of doing a disservice to bands in a way to not address those things, because you obviously have to have a great deal of, in addition to talent, you obviously have to have a great deal of intelligence and thoughtfulness and be able to tune into things to be able to be a good musician.
Yeah.
And then it's treated often in the media. I can't believe we got into this philosophical conversation. It's treated often in the media as being like a fluff thing, you know?
Yeah.
Well, so it's like art documents what's going on historically in the world.
Yeah.
Just as like photography and the written word does, and music does the same thing.
Sure.
You know, you listen to music from like different eras, and it like totally encapsulates like the feeling of, you know, like, maybe it's music that's very like geographically like, you know, like it's music from Berlin from like the 40s, and it totally has that feeling of what was going on in that city during that time, or like, you know, American music
or Strange Fruit. I mean, it's used so much in school.
Yeah,
you know? So as an emotional reference point,
exactly,
to the Reformation and stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like music has such a timeline.
Maybe it depends on the genre of music. Like rock and roll is considered more like.
But you know what? I guess it's
hard with post-punk, really.
Yeah. I guess. But you know what? Like I see a lot of, or I've heard a lot of bands that I feel like really are able to kind of like capture that and really express that in their music. And when I hear it, it's like I can't even express maybe how I understand them, but I just know like it clicks and I'm like, wow, they're really saying what's going on right now, or they're really capturing a feeling, you know?
Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, as far as hype goes, I would say like there was a Electro Clash hype, and then prior to that, and that was so minor, was really grunge. Yeah. And, you know.
What question would you want someone to ask you about religion?
I don't really know. Just no one's asked me. Oh, I have no idea, actually. But I just, no one ever asked us, so that's the first thing that came to my mind. But
I'm sure you have different religions within your band.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, none of us are particularly
religious.
Yeah. But we're all, I think, really spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know?
And you probably come from a religious background
of
some type.
Oh, my God, so religious. Like, yeah. Ridiculously religious.
Yeah.
Really intense. I mean, Christine's family is
super, like, my mother's a minister, you know? So
yeah.
It's like,
really?
Yeah, it's pretty,
wow,
you know, wild in that respect. So it's like, yeah, you know, it doesn't matter what it's like for me, but it's just very intense, you know? Like, it's just, that's what you come from, and I'm completely the opposite of that, you know? So.
But there are, you know, there are aspects that definitely, I think, not that there's, when I say something like this, there isn't a choice involved or any right or wrong look at it, but there are definitely morals that you prescribe to in times of need, you know?
Like, I think so.
The times that I've like prayed, like being like, okay, I don't really believe in this, and I don't even know what I'm doing, but there are things that I've done unconsciously, like my grandmother was Jewish, and so like I told her that I started meditating because I got really into beat literature when I was like 15. Uh-huh. So I started like trying to meditate and crap, and so I would rock back and forth, and she called me one day and was like, what were you doing? And I was like, I was meditating, and I would rock back and forth, and then I find out that, I forget the name of it, but I found out that, you know, it's actually like a thing that, you know, you
do.
Yeah. And then there's just like so many aspects, and then, you know, my parents were kind of Catholics for a while, and so it's interesting, just the whole,
yeah, well, it all shapes
how,
you,
yeah, and
it
then just like how music is, yeah. I mean, there's kind of like rock is a religion, you know.
I think so.
So
I think it is a religion.
Yeah,
I think so too. And I think it's like how, I mean, obviously it's an expression and people use it for like different means, but I think, I don't know, like maybe because of like growing up in a household that was just so like, you know, I could see that, you know, my mother or my father was so ecstatic and so like in love with what they believe that it was like, you know, it's like passion. So it's like easy for me to like kind of have that kind of enthusiasm for something that I enjoyed, which was playing music. You know what I mean? So
it's like the, interesting.
Like they have that passion for like whatever, like Beaten Bibles.
You learned, like, you learned, yeah, Beaten Bibles.
That's a good band, Beaten Bibles.
Yeah, that is a good band. That's yeah. You can play the Bible belt and the Panhandle of Texas. It'd
Dude,
be awesome.
It would be so fresh. But anyhow, you know what I mean? Like, I think just like by being surrounded by that, you know, that kind of like enthusiasm and that love and that passion and like, and really like for them, it's like, they do it because, you know, they are very decent people and they mm-hmm. want to be decent people and they want to mm-hmm. do good things for other people. You know what I mean? So I saw that growing up and it's like, well, maybe I didn't like prescribe to those like dogmas and whatnot. And like maybe I don't believe in all those things, but I believe in the idea of like being, you know, jubilant and being passionate about like what I enjoy and what makes me feel good. And like definitely playing music. And, you know, being surrounded by other musicians and artists, whatnot, is, like, what makes me feel good. And so I'm going to, like, absolutely pursue it. You know, and I think that would be the same for Paloma, I mean, you know?
Yeah, and there's also just the idea that there's a glamorization in sex. It's like, you're wearing this. Oh, that means you must be this kind of rocker. Or then there's the glamorization of maybe more drugs and more partying or the opposite and different... You know, you look at, like, folk singers, and you're like, oh, they must be stoners, you know? Yeah. And then, like, you look at, like, total rockers, and you're like, they must do a lot of coke, you know? And it's just, like, there's the glamorizations, and there's, like, the glamorizations of different sects that practice certain religious values. Like, oh, they seem way too strict, or, mm-hmm. oh, those Irish Catholics drink a lot, you know? I mean, it's just, like, the kind of... It's interesting, I think, just because I think that that's what kids do relate to emotionally. I think when kids buy their first record, mm-hmm. that's or are really into their first band, that's more a passage of age. What is that called again?
Rite of passage.
Rite of passage, right. Yeah. That's more a rite of passage in, I think, American culture than I think, like, getting a first communion, stuff like that, that maybe used to be the same thing for... people who grew up in like rural towns in like the, you know, eighteen hundreds, you know?
Yeah. I remember buying my first record.
What was it?
You know, I think my first vinyl purchase that I purchased after having a garage sale and selling my dad's construction equipment, like, you know, tools like saws and whatnot, like he had lying around, which he got very mad at me because I'd be like, oh, I'll take 50 cents for a saw, and he's like, what are you doing? You know? But I took all that money. And I bought tickets to a concert, and I bought Culture Club
yeah.
album, and I was freaked out, man. I walked over to Licorice Pizza, so excited, and I had my little light blue navy slip on Vans and my little like cool outfit that I thought was cool, which, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. I was like probably so nerdy with glasses and long hair, but I was like so stoked. Walked and got my Culture Club record, and I remember just like playing that on my parents' turntable and just like, wow. You know, and you don't know. I mean, I was like 12 or something, like 11 or 12. You just don't know, you know, anything. You just like know that you like it and it makes you feel good, you know?
Yeah. I think my first record was Led Zeppelin, actually. It was, I saw my sister, my older sister had like all their records.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this must be. And it, of course, it was great. But I was like, oh, this must be what people listen to. Okay, I'll get one. Hey. And that was it.
That's awesome.
Do you remember your first record, Paloma?
Well, there were the records that I just kind of inherited, you know,
yeah.
and got into on my own, which was a lot of jazz, and then and some soul, but my first tape, I bought a tape. I was still, I'm pretty young, but I did buy tapes. That was my first, because I could afford tapes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wanted to buy a record because I grew up with a turntable and all, but. You know, I couldn't afford a record. It was like, I only had $2. So my first, I bought Elvis Costello, My Aim Is True. That was my first thing that I bought on my own, you know, that I didn't get my parents to buy for me or whatever.
That's a great first purchase.
And I got it because I lived in Northern California at the time, and I just thought he looked so cool. And I was like, oh, my dad thinks he's really good, and I've heard some of his stuff off the radio. And I was like... He's so cool. Like, he's, like, kind of, like, rebellious, but then, like, he seemed like a nerd, and I was really into like trying to be smart. It's so dorky, right? But that's why I bought it. I was 12 too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're 12, it's such a strange age.
Uh huh. Not... Yeah.
But I remember just getting like a lot of Nirvana that Christmas. You know, just like Nirvana. Please get me this, Santa.
Oh God, I remember what I mean? When that record came out. Oh my God.
But yeah.
Let me ask you one more quick question, and then we'll play one of your songs, because we're almost out of time here. We only have 4 minutes left in the show. Can you believe it went by that quickly?
My God.
I know.
Can we come on next week?
Yeah, you can come on next week. We're
continued conversation.
Yeah. I know what I wanted to ask you. Has either of you or any of you in your band actually had any band stalkers?
Kind of. Sarah did more.
Yeah, Sarah
when she
did
was
more.
In the band.
And
people
Dana,
become obsessed with her.
And Dana had this weird thing, which I don't remember.
Well, there's like the band stalker guy that like stalks a lot of bands, and he stalked Dana for full time. Because Dana, by mistake, gave him like her phone number
her
for some reason.
Personal number, like I think she was. Just
and
like,
I knew not to, just from being in the Grown Ups.
Yeah,
because he's like the known stalker guy. I forget his name though. It's like,
but he was just like a guy who was in the
John
audience.
John Day.
No. Yeah, something
Dave.
Like that.
I'm just kidding.
That's my secret identity, band stalker. Now everyone's gonna know. Now how am I gonna stalk everybody?
He's our next upcoming girl band. I'll
no,
be there.
This weird guy. He's like from Santa Monica, and he's like really
is
odd.
Is this last? Okay. Oh, people are probably gonna. Anyways, I'm not gonna say who it is.
Everyone knows who it is. He's just that weird
but he was
guy.
Just like an audience guy. He wasn't like a, booker or something.
No.
He was just like random guy.
Yeah.
Who would show up and and stalk.
There's definitely like people that you see coming, you know, show after show that
right.
Kind of thing, and you're
well,
like
fans.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I hope they're fans of the music.
And they show up at your car. Then they show up at your house.
And
they're
just like hanging out on my street. I'm all, hey, easy.
We're going to play one more song as we end the show here. What's the name of the song?
This song is called Life Preservers, and it's actually off of our first CD, which
oh,
was
fantastic.
Called Going Modern.
All right, yep. Cool. Anything anyone needs to know about this song? Anything special?
You know what? Actually, this song is very special because our friend Kevin Lovelady directed an amazing, fun video for it, which is on our 9-song music video DVD compilation, which is in the new record. So if you get a copy of the new album, Remain Instant, you're also going to get a 9-song music video compilation.
Fantastic. So, yeah. How can people find your band?
They can go to thesharpies.com or they can go to MySpace/thesharpies.
And Sharpies is spelled?
T-H-E-S-H-A-R-P-E-A-S-E. Yes. And you can get stuff locally in LA at like Sea Level or Amoeba.
All right. Well, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was fun. I'm glad we got a chance to chat.
Thanks.
And there was like an almost high five hug thing going on.
I know, but I was like, why are me and Paloma hugging? We should be like high fiving John. Thank you, John.
Oh,
thank
you're
you,
welcome.
Radio.
Yeah. Right, well, you guys have to come back because I'm sure we have a lot more to talk about. So you've been listening to Standing Room Only.
Woo-hoo!
Live with the Sharpies. We're going to play one more Sharpies song.
Sharpies.
Be back next week with a brand new show. Thanks, Los Angeles. Good night.
Long live Space Chickens.
Space Chickens rule.
Push hands on panels.
SOS. Inflatable.